kaista.
Hey, this is a podcast. This time in English because Ariel is here. Good evening.
Hello.
And we are doing a podcast. How cringe is that? But we are indeed doing the podcast. But before we go to the sordid affairs of what this podcast is, today is the 21st of January, which is, according to the Gregorian calendar, it is the 21st day of the year. And there is only 344 days left of this year. So something to look forward to in the future. The name days in the Finnish calendars are Auna, Oona, Netta, and Auni. The Finn-Swede calendar says Agnes och Agneta. And the North Sami calendar recognizes the name Avnos. And did you know that today in the United States it is the National Hugging Day? Apparently you did not know that.
Oh, I didn't know I could speak.
No, I said you can feel free to chime in anytime.
Yay, National Hugging Day.
I mean, if there's a day people need it, it is today.
Fair, yeah.
But I'm not going to dwell on that part at all. So, what has happened in this, the 21st of January, throughout the history? In 1720, Sweden and Prussia signed the Treaty of Stockholm, which ended the war between Sweden and the alliance of Hanover and Prussia. And I don't think it had anything to do with Finland, so let us move away from that immediately.
Yay! Fuck you, history.
In 1793, after being found guilty of treason by the French National Convention, Louis the 16th of France is executed. I think this is one of those revolution shenanigans that you hear a lot about on the popular media.
No.
They seem to like it a lot. 1908, New York City passes the Sullivan Ordinance, making it illegal for women to smoke in public, only to have the measure vetoed by the mayor. So, sounds like it wasn't as much an ordinance as a suggestion. But perhaps it is better than that. 1919, a revolutionary Irish Parliament is founded and declares the independence of the Irish Republic. One of the first engagements of the Irish War of Independence takes place. Let's hope that ended well with the Irish. Don't spoil it, I haven't seen the movie yet. In 1932, Finland and the Soviet Union sign a non-aggression treaty. And only 7 years later, we do a war. So, it worked out.
That didn't last very long.
I mean, hey, 7 years of no war is better than 7 years of war. Hey, I would say.
Yeah.
Great success. Great success. In 1954, the first nuclear-powered submarine, the USS Nautilus, is launched in Groton, Connecticut. By the First Lady of the United States. Actually, I read the book by the skipper of that boat when they did the first non-stop submerged circumnavigation of the planet. It was a very, very interesting read, but people were going a bit nuts after having been underwater for like months on end. But
I wonder why.
1960, Little Joe 1B, a Mercury spacecraft, lifts from Wallops Island with Miss Sam, a female rhesus monkey on board. That was the first orbiting Mercury spacecraft.
Mm.
So that's cool. But that is the end of the events for the day. We are here to discuss issues.
Issues.
We've been talking about doing a podcast for a while, haven't we?
Yeah.
You've said repeatedly that you kind of miss doing a podcast.
Yeah, it's been a very long time. Well, okay, maybe not very long, but it's been quite a while.
I'd say it's been very long. It's been like, what, over a decade?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
I'd say that's a pretty long time. As you know, I never took a break from podcasting.
No.
It was just the 3 days that was the normal gap between episodes for me. I don't know if I'm podcasting, to be honestly. I'm just, you know, I'm talking to a microphone and I'm releasing it, but I don't know if this is a podcast as of such.
Well, are you doing a pod on a cast?
I don't know. I'm just chilling.
Well, as long as you're on one iPod, it is a podcast.
Yeah, admittedly, the term has kind of made itself rather old, though it's just taken on a meaning all its own, because
yeah.
iPods are no longer a thing. They discontinued the last one, which...
I thought they were still making the Shuffle.
No, they... None.
Oh, wow.
They discontinued that one fairly recently, I think. So you can no longer buy an iPod, even if you try.
Well, you can buy a used one.
You can buy a used one, yeah, but and you can mod them to all high heaven. And some people like it. And admittedly, they do seem kind of cool and interesting, but the technical fiddliness of the project are a bit beyond my capabilities, I'd say. Or let's say, if not the utmost upper echelons of my capabilities, I'm not interested enough in it to go do that whole thing. Do you still listen to podcasts?
Yes and no. I tend to do it when commuting to and from work, which I haven't really been doing. But I've also have been usually listening to music or whatever, or other things. So I've been kind of bad about listening, but I should probably try to get back into them.
Yeah, it's... I listen to podcast-style content, but I mostly listen it through YouTube. You can listen to this show on YouTube. I think, like, the main... main thing of this is now, or the main audience is now on YouTube.
I guess technically then I do listen to podcasts all the time since we watch YouTube videos quite a bit together.
Yeah, and like, what's the difference between a podcast and a video essay, for example?
Visual info being shown.
Yeah, but like, there's also... You know, there's video podcasts. They were a thing.
They are still a thing.
They are still a thing. So, like, it really doesn't matter. Like, the podcast itself as a format was kind of named and made particular by its way of distribution, which was RSS feeds, MP3 files, which is what this still is. But like, I think the... meaning of the delivery method as a signifier of the type of content no longer really applies. Because if you think about TV, what's a TV show anymore?
A show you watch on television.
Yeah, but like, isn't like Orange is the New Black a TV show? Or BoJack Horseman?
I mean, yeah, people usually watch them on their televisions.
Yeah, but like, they're not broadcast on television.
No, but we have like a TV.
Yeah, but like people watch it on all kinds of devices. And like before, I'm watching television meant that you watch something broadcast over a television signal.
Mm.
Or you watched videos that meant you put in a videotape.
Yeah, I was just being pedantic. Since...
Yeah, yeah, no, no. That was the whole point of the conversation. So like, it's... I've said this on my solo episodes that I've done. I think doing the podcast is pretty cringe. To the point where I was introduced to a Finnish artist who sounded a bit interesting. It was them's hop-hop music, so... Not really my genre, but the content and the attitude seemed interesting. And then when they scrolled through, the person who was showing this to me was scrolling through their YouTube channel where they showed me the music video. I saw that they have a podcast that's been running for like 3 or 4 years. And I was like,
Says the person who's currently recording and doing a podcast.
I know.
Has done many a podcast.
I've done many a podcast, but I stopped before it was cool, and I'm
you were ahead of your time.
It's also like I'm always questioning the motivation of doing a podcast. Is this like a show of narcissism?
Is it?
Well, in a sense, I'm like I wouldn't be doing these if I didn't want somebody to listen to these, even mm-hmm. though I'm mainly just rambling on things that interest myself. But it's like, I like this performative part of it where I'm like, hey, I'm making a show. Hey,
you're nothing like my mom, so I think you're good.
No, I don't mean a narcissist that way. I just mean that, like, if you are a performer, there's a sort of, hey, look at me!
Yeah.
Kind of an aspect.
I cannot resist ribbing on my mom.
Yes, and it's fair, and it's fair.
I mean, she's the reason my first run with podcasts had to end.
Yes, which we did together.
Yes.
Many, many, many a year ago.
Even longer than our last podcast.
Did we make several podcasts?
Yeah, remember HRT?
Oh. No. No, not really.
You don't remember doing the HRT podcast? It's the one where I fell asleep on you because I was overworked from college and my jobs.
No.
I still feel bad about it because you... You're so upset.
I have very little recollection of... Like, I was just throwing things on the floor and on the wall and seeing what stuck. So I did a lot of shows that kind of died very early on or never found an audience or just no longer interested me. But yeah, no. I mean... But I've been thinking that we should... If there is an audience for spoken... crap like this. Like we have very interesting and weird conversation around the apartment. Like people should know we live together as roommates, and like what I really like about our conversations are the ones that are entirely unhinged.
Yeah, same.
But the problem with that is that they come from very, very organic situations that you cannot recreate.
Yeah.
On a podcast.
I guess we just need to have a 24/7 listening device. Recording everything we say.
I own a phone, so yes, I already have one.
Something we can access.
Oh, yeah, that would be more problematic. No, I've actually disabled, like, my phone cannot use its own microphone or camera unless I'm doing something specifically that activates it.
Same.
But, like, it's annoying.
Or at least I hope.
It's annoying that these days whenever you get a new device, that's the first thing you have to do is, like, check where are the listening device functions and how do I disable them, and then you just have to trust that they're actually disabled.
Yeah, it's funny, so many Americans are like, I don't want the government knowing everything I do, but they carry a smartphone that they always keep the GPS on for.
But it's okay if the multinational corporations do it.
Yes, because then it's capitalism.
Yeah, and you know, corporations are people, and people are fine. Governments are not people, so that's not fine.
Ah, I see. Makes sense.
Yes. We do a lot of ribbing on Americans.
Yeah, even though I am one.
Yeah, I think specifically because you are one, because like...
Yeah.
I had a very, very poor opinion of the them United of States even before like we lived together and hung out this much.
Yeah.
And before I visited, but after, and I've heard all the stories, I'm like, holy fuck.
Well, funny enough, I think when we first met, I was still not fully, not as much as I was as a kid, but I think I was still somewhat buying into some of the propaganda.
Yeah.
So I think I was still a little bit rah-rah, but not, like, fully committed anymore. Because, they indoctrinate us young. I mean, we have to say the Pledge of Allegiance every morning, so.
Yeah, it's a place that has kind of... progressively built its downfall, which we are now witnessing in real time, but which we are not discussing on this podcast, because for that content you can go to any other podcast on the planet.
Yeah.
Except that since you are an immigrant to Finland, and like you haven't really talked about your immigrant experience. I was thinking that, do you want to talk about your immigrant experience?
Sure.
On the podcast, because, hey, that's content, and that's what drives engagement. Please engage with this podcast right now. We'll wait.
engage.
So, you've been in Finland for...
Over 3 years now.
Yeah, 3 years, 3 months, I think.
Yeah, October 2021.
Yeah. So, how is it?
It's good, for the most part, I think. Maybe?
it was a very firm firm and decisive answer to, yes, Finland.
Yes.
I think it's a very Finland answer to, yes, Finland.
I mean, considering everything going in the U.S., it's very much, yes, I am happy to be here. But, I mean, if I look at everything objectively, there's obviously been, you know, a couple of things. But, like, if it was reverse and I was an immigrant to the U.S., I feel like I would have a much larger list of issues. So, yeah. And my issues are very tame. And also, since I'm white, I do have a lot of privilege that people who aren't white don't have to deal with.
And it's weird. I've talked about this in the past, I think, maybe, that I kind of feel left out with my friend group, because, like, so many of them, like, the vast majority have either immigrated to Finland or have immigrated away from Finland and maybe returned, or some of them I keep in touch online or sometimes visit them abroad. And I'm like, I'm the almost only one in my friend group who has never immigrated. But that's a massive move. Like, obviously, it comes with...
Yeah, it's a lot, and maybe slightly traumatizing. dismissive to people who actually are traumatized with immigration, like refugees and stuff. But, like, I don't know, getting rid of almost everything you own, it was a bit traumatic in that sense, and also just, like, very, very fucking stressful, especially having two cats that needed their paperwork and stuff to prove that they wouldn't bring disease.
Yeah, and it's like, in this day and age, like, the world is smaller and smaller and smaller all the time. So moving to another country is more like just moving to another city was in the past, but still, especially when you move from one continent to the other and there's like a whole ocean between them, like that is a very big move. And like visiting the remaining relatives you still speak to is like a big project.
Yeah. Yeah, it took me, almost 3 years to finally visit, which I am now very glad I did, because one of the motivations behind finally visiting was if a certain person won an election, I'm not sure if I wanted to visit. So,
I think for the next 4 years, it's much more preferable to actually bring the people you want to meet from there here rather than.
Yeah, I'll see if I can afford.
Or meeting somewhere halfway.
Yeah,
which is also.
I might
option.
Still debate about visiting, but if certain laws or whatever get passed, then no. But
yeah, it's pretty bad. But we're not talking about that.
No. I was going to end it there. I just give you context.
But we're, again, refer to every other podcast on the planet.
Yes.
To that.
Again, I was going to end it there, but it's
I know.
Relevant.
Yeah, it most definitely is. And like, I wouldn't have visited during the reign of a certain someone.
Yeah.
I was there in the relative calm of the intervening era.
Yeah.
But all in all, like, I think you've slotted into the Finnish mindset pretty easily.
I mean, I basically already had one.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I remember when you were just visiting, I was like, you seem to, especially when you returned for your second visit, it was like, yeah, you're a Nordic person.
Aw, thank you.
Like, especially the mindset and like how you looked at your surroundings when you were here and how you seem to experience everything. Like, this makes so much more sense when things are done this way.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's a couple of things that I either think made more sense elsewhere or whatever. But like, for the most part, I'm like, this makes more sense. Why doesn't the U.S. do this?
Yeah.
Or like, it's just nice. Like, I am. It's so nice to be able to shop in peace and not have shopping assistants like bother me every 15 minutes or less, or like even just regular people coming up and trying to talk to me. And it's like, what are you doing? I remember after my first visit when I went to the groceries. My first visit here to clarify. And when I went back to the U.S., I was at the store getting milk, and the lady was like trying to talk to me about milk. And I was just like, what are you doing? Stop talking to me. I didn't say this to her, obviously, but it was just like, I already got so used to not having to do that in stores. Yeah. And also having to talk, have an entire conversation with the cashier. Which, I mean, I'm not saying it sucks or whatever, but like, you don't know the person. So it's just like, hi, how are you doing?
Yeah. And you don't care.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I care a bit because it's a fellow human being, but like, it's very much going through the motions.
Yeah. And like that person asked that question like 300 times a day.
Exactly. And I can only imagine it's exhausting. I literally worked retail. It is exhausting.
They probably don't listen to the answer. They're just going through the motions. Because if you listen to the answer and engaged, that would not work out.
You have to, though, because if it's obvious you're not engaged, then the customer might get offended. So,
well, I mean, more if you're
like encouraged to engage, because then we could try to upsell.
No, I was more thinking like if you're just a cashier, like,
well, okay.
having shopped in the States, like you go and they're like, how's your day going? And I'm just fine. Like, the end. they're already thinking about, I don't know, podcasting or something.
Yeah, and to be fair, my retail wasn't like a grocery store. It was like a regular store. So it's a bit different from a grocery store because we're also the associates out. Because actually, if we stayed behind the register too long, and if we weren't ringing someone up, we get in trouble. Even though I was like, people don't want to go to registers if they don't see someone there. So it was a hard balance because, like, I needed to make my sales goal, but also like not get in trouble for standing behind the register too long. Because they always expected you to, you know, be cleaning things up and stuff. So if it was really slow and I've literally organized everything I could, I had to just pretend I was straightening up and stuff. And if I felt I could get away with it, maybe I'll stand behind a cashier, the cash desk a bit and doodle on some receipt paper. But I got in trouble. I mean, they didn't catch me doodling, but they caught me behind a desk and was like, you should be out there cleaning. And it's like, I've already done everything. They're like, there's always something to do.
Yeah.
Rant.
Do you want to mention something that, because those things do exist, most certainly, what made more sense in the States than it does here?
The only thing I can think off the top of my head is, actually there's two things. I miss street signs.
Street signs, I 100% endorse the American way of doing street signs because it was so easy to navigate everywhere.
Yeah, because like I always have to rely on Google Maps and like I don't know if it's me not registering a name because it's in Finnish or because I just never see the name. So it's like, except for where we live, I don't know street names because I never see the street name. So even on Google Maps, they don't really show up. So I only know like a couple street names because I never see the street name. And like, yeah. And then I do kind of miss, the walking signs because they were bigger and also like I missed the the ones that had the countdown because here it just flashes red and then instantly goes to red and you technically still have more time to cross but you don't know how much and you freak out and want to run. Still haven't gotten quite the hang of it, but
yeah, I would also, I don't necessarily agree with the walk, don't walk thing because in the States, everything is written out.
Oh, like, I'm more used to, those aren't as common. I've always come across the ones where it's either a hand or a walking signal, but yeah. I don't care about the symbol. I just miss
the countdown.
Well, that and like it being bigger and square and because I feel like if you're driving, since it's the same color, you might accidentally see a green and be like, oh, and then it's like, oh, no, wait, that was a walk sign. But I haven't driven, so I don't know. But because in the U.S., the walk and don't walk things are white and orange.
I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah.
But here the symbols are so important, like you can't really mistake a standing person with a circle or a forward arrow with a white forward arrow with a red circle.
Yeah.
But that's just because I'm used to it. But I definitely agree with the countdown. And I like the Danish thing the best, or at least it might exist somewhere else as well. But I'm the most familiar with it in Copenhagen, where it's like it has the three circles, mm-hmm. like with the car signs.
Yeah,
but the middle one is the countdown, and it's counting down both the red and the green.
So that you're is nice.
Always, you have a full idea of what's going on and when, and if you have enough time. In here, obviously, it's. As soon as you've stepped on the crosswalk when it's still green, you have time to cross.
Yeah. And that is a bit of a problem in the U.S. because I think there have been a couple where I don't feel like I'm a very slow walker, and it turns back to red. And it, I started walking right when it turns to walk, and it like stops like only a second after I cross. I'm like, if someone has mobility issues, they're not making it in time.
Yeah,
and also like the countdown isn't like the most common, so there are a lot where it just blinks for a bit and then it goes to whatever. So like it's not perfect, and also I think overall, I would still say that the walk signs things here are better because they're a lot more accessible to people who don't have eyes. So if I had to pick, I would still pick the ones here because they have the maps for blind people to feel, so they know what to expect when crossing, and every walk sign has the beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
So
at least the vast majority, not... everyone, but
well, yeah. I mean, to give you a clue, in Milwaukee, they were only in like one area in the Brady area, and I've not encountered them anywhere else. Whether it's here, or there, I feel like almost all the ones I deal with every day have them.
So, what I've done recently, as the midpoint of the podcast, I play music, and in the past I played some Podsafe music, but there's a lot of music that I've done that I know is safe to play. So I'm going to play one of those songs and then tell very shortly the story of how that was made after we hear the song, and then we'll continue with discussing things. But is there a certain song that you would like to hear because you know most of them?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes, but I'm trying to remember the name.
You can hum it.
It's the one about the guy lost in space, I guess.
Oh, okay, we can definitely do that
if you haven't done that yet.
I don't think I've done it. I will check, but in any case, a song will start playing now. That was Dreaming by Professor Cool. Though originally it started as a piece for a completely different project. It's actually one of the longest production cycles of any song that I have worked on, except the one that is very close to being finished, which is even longer. But I think the origins of this song is in 2009, and I finished it in 2020. So, that's quite a long time. Like, we had this musical project called Proxy, because we worked by proxy, by sending files over FTP back in the day, before you could send like big files over instant messages and send email and Google Drive and all that. With my former a friend who studied music technology at the same time I did. And we did it after we had both graduated, and we didn't really hang out a lot in the same space either. And we just started doing these floaty kind of songs. And this one, I remember, I got the idea for the basic chord structure that carries on throughout the entire piece. One evening when I was definitely should have left the studio to go to sleep because I think I had work the next day, and I was like, oh, this sounds so cool. I need to put this down, and like, instead of just putting down the chords, obviously I made a loop out of it and found the sounds that are still part of the arrangement for the basic chords. The same presets carried over. Well, they were, let's say, I never use presets as is, because then they sound like the presets and not something organic to the song. The presets that I started off with and then manipulated are still the same ones that I did that one evening in 2009. And we sent it back and forth a few times, and then like the fast, or it's not even faster, but like the beat heavy section where it's almost becomes a rock tune, not quite, but like there's a lot of percussion and all that. That just came, the session came back to me one day, and I was listening, okay, let's see what he had done on it. And then suddenly that started playing, and I was like, holy shit. And I immediately messaged being like, I almost fell out of my chair because it was so unexpected and it worked so well. But one of the big reasons why there was such a long production cycle was that this was back before I really thought I could sing any of my stuff. So I didn't really compose vocal melodies by singing them, but rather by playing the keyboards and finding cool melodies. And back then, we had a very frequent collaborator who was a professional singer and who had sang some of our other stuff. The range of that song is so insanely wide that she couldn't really hit it. And we went back on it a few times, but she was also busy with actual, you know, paying stuff. So we could only like do it a few times, and we just couldn't get it. So it just laid in the archives, being like, well, I'll finish it someday. And eventually I decided to try singing it, and I could get like, let's say 88% there, but 88% is not really good enough for. And then I just decided that, oh, well, let's get the machines to help. So it's like half my voice with an embarrassing amount of hopefully quite natural-sounding auto-tune placed strategically in some sections, and then a vocoder effect like carrying the rest so that it works. And I think it worked out pretty well. And
yeah.
That was one of those things when COVID happened and everybody was bored. So I was just like, I'm anxious and bored. Let's do music. Let's do art.
art?
Oh, there was like it was horrible time and everybody died, but like there was a lot of time to do art.
I was too stressed.
I was dealing with the stress with art. But yeah, that's the story of that song, and I think it's one of the best things we've ever done. So
nice. I just did a lot of knitting.
Yeah, and playing of them video games.
Yeah.
I mean, I did video games and watched a lot of
so much Animal
streaming
Crossing.
And all that. But I also like put this anxiety and rage into musical projects because it was just like, well, I might die soon, so better finish some things. Turn out I didn't die, but I did finish some things.
That's good.
I still have like stuff that isn't finished, and I don't know, probably nobody cares, but
I care.
The thing I was thinking that we could talk in this latter section is languages.
The thing I'm horrible at.
Well, here's the interesting thing. One of the reasons why whenever I think about getting back to podcasting, the question of language comes up. And like this show traditionally has been in Finnish. But the thing is that since I live with you.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of international projects online.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch a lot of English language YouTube. These days I spent most of my time speaking, thinking, writing, listening to English rather than Finnish.
Yeah.
And I...
Sorry.
No, I've noticed that it has changed my way of thinking about these kinds of things quite a bit.
Hopefully in a good way.
I mean, in a neutral way. Like, there's nothing wrong with the Finnish language, but because I use English so much more, and I've used English since I was a kid. Like, I didn't learn English at a class. I was always quite a few steps ahead of the classes we had because I was just...
Yeah, you should have been in advanced courses.
We didn't really have those kinds of things. It was one curriculum for everybody. And, like, that's why I tentatively dare to say that I have native English.
You have native. You know more words than I do, I think.
Well, I don't think the abundance of vocabulary is necessarily a thing because a measurement of how good you are at language, because I probably people who study a language might know a lot of vocabulary, but don't necessarily know how to use it naturally. And the thing is, I also like the flow of English. I think I'm better at talking to a microphone in English because it's just easier to get it out and let the speech flow from one sentence to the other. When I speak Finnish, it's very stop and start, stop and start, stop and start, because the language is very stop and start, stop and start.
Ah.
And one thing I used to do back in the day as well, and I'm on the podcast, and now I'm doing it mainly to annoy you, is pulling voices.
Your impressions.
Well, they're not all like impressions. They can also be original voices. But like I've noticed that I enjoy doing voices. It's so much easier to do in English. Like, because of the flowiness of the English language, you can pull a lot more exaggerated a language or a voice, and it still kind of sounds natural in English. Like, if you think about a lot of the voices in The Simpsons, for example, like, those voices are very, very, very exaggerated. very unnatural if you think about them. But they still work.
Oh, yeah. If someone talked like some of those voices in real life, he'd just be like, are you okay? What's wrong with your voice?
Yeah, and if you talked with that voice in Finnish, it would just... it wouldn't really work because there would be too many consonants. You wouldn't get enough voice out doing them. So in that sense, I've also been like... because in when I did the Finnish podcast, I had my... I called him the conservative pig. Or the right-wing pig voice that always talked about how horrible it is that the poor people can't afford all these nice things and all the pores. And then I could do an impression of the character from Pasila, the show, the one who thinks everything is very interesting.
Ah, that guy.
Or fascinating. I could do that pretty well back in the day, but that was about it. And you've had to endure me doing a variety of voices in English.
Yes, indeed.
And I kind of apologize and don't because because I'm like, hey, it's fun, and sometimes you laugh. So it's like, hey, if the bit is out there, the bit needs to be done.
They're amusing.
says the roommate with a deadpan. Yes. Very amusing. I enjoy them so.
I wish I had the courage to do voices, but my family very much stomped them down because I was so bad at doing accents and such that they're just like, yeah, no, stop.
Yeah, I'm annoyed that I'm really bad at doing accents. Because that would be a fun skill. Then again, I'm sure I could get them if I practiced.
Yeah.
But where's the fun in that? It's, well, then again, I kind of do practice doing voices because I just do them and don't care. But my accents are so bad that I really don't do them. Unless it's like a canned line, like, hello, I'm Scott Manley, where I can do like a single line from, or, oh, I got ferrets up my kilt. I don't know where that even came from, but that was my Scottish. But have you noticed anything, like, you know a lot more Finnish than you give yourself credit for. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you speak Finnish on the show. But have you noticed anything like that when you speak Finnish? Do you notice a change in your voice or the way you form the voice?
I've always noticed this when I'm learning a language. I don't know if it's I try to mimic the language voice or whatever I'm listening to or whatever, but it's like I feel like I speak a bit differently.
Yeah.
Because like the language is said differently, so it's like it changes to match that.
Yeah, and I've noticed that different languages place in different parts of your mouth.
Yeah.
Like English is pretty back.
Yeah.
And that helps with the sing-songiness. Finnish is so very forward. Because all vocalizations are, I'd say, exaggerated, like excess, especially consonants, but vowels as well, because they're like they're like all very hard and they're very forward.
Yeah.
And like and I think I speak American. Like British English is even more to the back. Like it's halfway down to your intestine, pretty much. Especially like the kind of royal English where I'm like, are your larynx in your stomach? How do you speak so much from the back of your throat? I know that's not an accent, but this is like how they do. You have to like strain yourself to even get the voice so far back.
I guess if it's something you always do, you don't notice it.
Yeah, yeah. And like Russian, I've noticed that is placed very in a very precise spot in the mouth.
Mm.
I realized that this is more... I thought we would talk about languages a bit more, but this is more me making a monologue of how fun it is to make voices.
No, we're talking about it. I mean, it's a very important part of linguistics is where you say where you put the sounds in your mouth, because it really changes how the thing is pronounced or whatever.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things you've gotten in Finnish is that, because like that prevents you from doing the things that don't annoy me, because like if you're just visiting, like who cares? But like if somebody's trying to genuinely learn the language, if instead of kiitos, they say kiitos,
yeah,
which a lot of people do, or another... Kiitos. Another is they just assume that you can ignore the umlauts on top.
I've been guilty of that. Not recently, but before I learned.
It's like, you know that those umlauts and markings are there for a reason. They indicate something.
Yeah. I mean, and to be fair, if you really don't know, like, what else are you supposed to do if you have to pronounce something?
You write it on Google Translate, and then you push the little...
Oh, this was long before Google Translate was a thing.
Yeah, yeah, but like I'm talking recently.
Yeah.
Like that's what I always do is I'm like, I'm not sure how to pronounce this. I write the sentence down to Google Translate and just push the little speaker symbol.
Though Google Translate isn't the most accurate either.
No, not for translation, for pronunciation, because it is very accurate for pronunciation.
Oh, I thought it wasn't.
No, it is very accurate to pronunciation, because the phonetics are very, very, like, standard.
Gotcha.
In all languages. So that usually works out very well. Like, I work with people who speak Romanian as the language they speak to me, and I try to speak to them, and if there's something I'm not sure how to pronounce, I put it down to Google Translate and just have it say it, and everybody understands
it.
Instead of me trying to guess.
I've gotten very rusty with my pronunciation. I definitely hesitate a lot more when trying to read things out in Finnish, so I need to practice that again.
Yeah. You lose it. Like, I had a 5-year break between working in Iso Numero, so I had to revise on pretty much everything.
You picked it up fast, though.
Well, you do pick it up really fast when you get back to it.
Yeah, it's like riding a bike. You don't truly forget it.
Yeah, or even if you truly forget it, like, you've learned it once, so it's easier to activate that part of your brain again.
I read an article about how with language learning, you don't truly forget it, and that made me feel better about if I forget to practice for a while or I just don't have the energy, like recently, because my Finnish learning has been very much just no lately. So I'm hoping that once I get back to it, I'll be fine. And like, there's been times where I've remembered things that I am like, how did I remember that? So,
yeah. And it happens, like, I've noticed that when my Romanian is very, very basic and very specific to the work I'm doing with the people who speak it. But sometimes, like, I'm just surprised that somebody asks me something and usually I'm like, okay, I understand the question, but I can't formulate the answer. But
that happens a lot for me.
But sometimes it's just like, I just respond and then I'm like, what? I didn't know I could say that. and then sometimes I do go back to translation apps and being like, did I actually say the thing I I thought I'd say, or was it something completely different? And sometimes it's been something completely...
Oh, no.
Different, like... when I was wishing some people Merry Christmas, I mixed up a very, very, very basic word and replaced it. So instead of saying Merry Christmas, I said, I hope you're never merry again.
I really hope they understood somehow.
They did, because they wished Merry Christmas back to me.
Okay. And
so I think they got it, because it was Merry Christmas was Kratzun Ferichit.
Mm-hmm.
And I said Nichun Ferichit.
Ah, yes, similar. I think it's just similar enough, maybe.
Yeah, and they know that I speak very broken.
Yeah.
Romanian, so they were just like, yeah. Yeah, but
there's a lot of those in Finnish.
Yeah, there is, and like
pretty much any language.
Yeah, but the thing that I've noticed that a lot of Finnish learners struggle with, especially, is differentiating between the double vowels and the double consonants, because those can completely change the meaning of a sentence, even if it's just one doubled thing. And the Finnish language is actually pretty rare in that we write out elongated phonetics with double letters, because a lot of languages just handle these things otherwise. Like in English, like if you want a longer vowel, instead of putting the same vowel again, you just put another completely unrelated vowel after it.
Not always, or not usually, because, like, I mean, look, book, there's others that have double vowels that my mind's drawing blank on.
Ironically, though, neither look or book have a doubled phonetic.
They don't?
No, if it was doubled, it would be look and book. But it's look and book.
Okay.
In this case, the second vowel is just there to indicate the actual phonetic.
Because if it was only one, it would be like, look.
Yeah, exactly. The second is there to indicate that you're supposed to make a oo phonetic instead of an o phonetic. Because if it was just the one, it would be lock and bok.
Huh.
But if you want to say through, for example, which has a very elongated oo phonetic.
Yeah.
You put OU and then GH.
Well, yeah, because you pronounce OU, you go ooh, which is different from like OO or UU.
Yeah, but again, it's not elongated unless you have that particular combination.
You know English better than I do.
I'm just like, these are just thoughts that are, and observations about languages that I don't even speak, because I'm fascinated by languages.
Yeah, languages are fascinating.
Like German language, I think, is a good example of a language that I like to analyze and find patterns in, and it's a language I do not speak.
German's fucking insane.
German is like, I can piece together some of it, and I know some basic phrases of it, and then some very, very specific phrases from popular media that I enjoy, but that aren't very practical in day-to-day. I was in Germany recently. I had no use for Ich bin der Musikant mit Taschenrechner in der Hand. Though it might have pulled some amused reactions. Like, I could do grocery store stuff in German.
That's more than I could do in German.
Yeah, but you haven't been to Germany, so.
No, but I did try learning German for like a month.
Yeah, but it's really hard to learn a language if you don't use it actively.
Yeah.
And I think that's I've been talking a lot with immigrants to Finland, whose native language is English, and especially in the capital region, the hard part is that you do not need Finnish here.
Yes and no, because I've come across times where I've met someone who doesn't know English, and it's been difficult.
But imagine,
and all the paperwork and stuff I get from the government is in Finnish.
But still, in 3 years or 3 years, 3 months, you've been. How many people who don't speak very fluent English have you come across?
Admittedly, maybe about. It fits on one hand.
Yeah. Sometimes, obviously, it's hard if it's someone you absolutely need to engage in some important business. But
one time I had to call you to talk to them for me.
Yeah, but again, there's options for that, and you know. Whereas I've picked up quite a bit of Romanian because that's the only language I can communicate with, and everything I learn, no matter how major or minor, I use immediately. And the same is when I go to a foreign country. I like to pick up enough language, the kind of language that I can immediately use. So if I go to Germany, I want to be able to engage in the grocery store in German. If I go to Czechia, I want to be able to engage in Czechs. As much, and it works to varying degrees. Like in Germany, it worked as far as somebody said if I asked if I wanted a receipt, and I couldn't make heads or tails out of that, and then we had to switch to English, which confused the teller because we had been engaging in German language conversation before then. But that's just what happens. As I say, engaged in a German language conversation, which was like, Guten Tag, Danke schön, Danke, schnell, not really a conversation, more than canned polite lines to do at the grocery store, which you do in Finnish.
Yes. Another reason I'm glad that we don't have to engage in long conversations here.
Yeah, but
because I can get away with just knowing a couple things.
Yeah,
and I mostly have it down pat. It's if they ask something unexpected or I'm not able to hear them.
Yeah. So languages, voices. Yesterday I found a Miss Piggy, which you said that was fairly.
Yeah, fairly surprisingly.
And I did a Palpatine that was good for a short while, and
Flu.
I don't know how I did it anymore.
Because he had the flu.
Yeah, but I think I found it even after the flu.
Oh, okay. You told me that it was gone after the flu went away.
But obviously my best voice should be last. Which is, hey, look at me, I'm Alan Rickman.
Fucking knew that was going to be the one you said.
Hey, I'm Alan Rickman. I play Groot from The Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
But once when I did this for laughs, I actually hit really good Alan Rickman by accident, and I could never do it again. But you said it was actually really good that time.
Okay.
It was when we watched that documentary about Galaxy Quest.
Ah. Yeah, I can't remember, honestly, but yeah. You must have gotten at least closer than usual.
Yeah. Anyway, don't worry, listeners. I'm not going to pull a bunch of voices in here. I think this is a good place to wrap it up because we've gone on for a while. I hope it wasn't horrible for you.
No, it was fun.
And if you come back again, we can talk about topics you want to cover instead of me just throwing something out there.
Oh, no. I need to think.
I mean, you don't have to.
Hello, and welcome to the Knitting Podcast.
I don't even know if I'm going to do another episode of whatever this is. Podcast? I guess.
Keycast.
But like when in the previous episode, someone asked me in the comments, "Oh, are you back to doing podcasts?" And I like genuinely was like, "I don't know." I just did this thing. And oh, this was actually a thing I was kind of saving up. This is an excellent final thing. Have you noticed that in the podcasts, popular podcasts, they always say put a or make a like a 5-star rating on iTunes podcasts or Apple podcasts or whatever, and maybe we'll read it. A lot of podcasts say that, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? Where can I what? How do you I do Android, but now I have a Macintosh device, and when I was checking if this revised feed actually updated there, I could find my iTunes.
What's that? There's no such thing as iTunes anymore.
These are definitely iTunes reviews. So I'm going to go through them. They're not very short.
How old are they?
I'm going to tell you.
Oh, sorry.
So the handle Testari gave 5 stars 15 years ago.
Oh no.
And said, "Mahtava podcast, kannattaa kuunnella. A very good podcast, you should listen to it."
Oh, I thought there was a plane about traveling or comfortable.
Then 12 years ago, the handle JZJ78_ gave me one review with 5 stars, said, "Laatu tavaraa, toteuttajan masentelusta huolimatta, tai ehkä juuri siksi, loistavaa kuunneltavaa." So, quality stuff. Despite the ongoing depression, or maybe because of it, this is a great listen.
Oh.
And the handle Peruspena 8 years ago, so a very recent review, gave 4 stars saying, "Omalaatuinen ja kiinnostava, suosittelen," which is unique and interesting. I recommend it. So hey, don't say I don't read comments. Even if there's a slight delay. Like, this is dedication. This is professionalism. Yes. I should be getting an award. I should get all the awards.
All the awards.
So I'm going to collect my reward now. In the meanwhile, I'm going to say thank you to Ariel.
Thank you. And you're welcome. Wait.
Whatever you want to say. And maybe we'll be back. Maybe I'll be back. Maybe this will be it. I don't know. Ho ho.
Ho ho.